Ahoy everyone, this is recording number 26. We are Voyagers Under Sail and this is the audio journal. Today is October 27th, 2018. It's 20 minutes past 7 in the morning. We left Marina La Palma on the island of La Palma, town Santa Cruz. We left the marina just at 6 o'clock sharp. We've been out at sea just for an hour and 20 minutes. We are under engine, there is very little wind. The sky, it's starting to come alive. When we left, it was pitch black. And now on the horizon, towards the east, of course, we can see the sky getting slightly lighter. We can make the shape of the clouds on the horizon. The moon is still up on the sky, full moon, kind of between very light clouds, shining very nicely on the sea. And our destination is the island of El Hierro, 60 miles away. So we should be there around 6 o'clock this evening if we manage to keep a speed of about 5 knots. The last recording was only a few days ago, I think on the 23rd, 27th, so that's 4 days. We spent most of the last few days, like the children did studying. Me and Claudia did a thorough cleaning of the boat. And we put together a few other things for the boat just to keep it safe. But what is funny is that we thought a few weeks ago, we thought that the boat is full. There is no more room to store any more stuff, like food or anything like that on the boat. The boat was full, okay? And then 3 days ago, we met Martin, a guy from Germany, Hamburg, I believe. He did an Atlantic crossing last year. He did the whole Caribbean. And then he told me, PB, be careful. When you reach the Caribbean, everything is going to be 3 times the price that you are paying here. So when I heard that, I took Claudia. We went to a supermarket here, you know, a big one, but not massive, but a big supermarket. And we spent not a lot of money, only 200 euro, on 4 crates of provisions. We started again with flour, cereals, biscuits, cans, tins, you know, basic food stuff. Stuff that we can store for 4, 5, 6 months easily, okay? The nice thing about this is that the food, well, the whole shopping was delivered the next day by the supermarket and it didn't cost anything extra. It was a service that they provide. So that's very nice. You go in the supermarket, you buy everything you want, they pull up some special delivery crates. You pack your stuff into the crates with the help of the shop assistant. They label the crates, and next day, before 11 o'clock in the morning, the crates were beside the boat, okay? They deliver it beside the boat. It's not like they deliver it into the car park and you need to carry them. No, they deliver them beside the boat. You lift your shopping from the crates, they take the crates back, and that's at the end of the story. Very convenient service, highly appreciated. So that, and you know, I'm talking about 4 crates of food stuff and some cleaning products and toiletries. Somehow, after about an hour and a half, me and Claudia managed to store that without having it in the middle of the boat. Like, you know, we still managed to cram more stuff in our lockers and, you know, rearrange stuff, take something out of the boxes, keep just the packaging, you know, make it really, really space efficient, okay? So that was that. And while we were doing that, I said to Claudia, we still don't have enough sweets. Like, you know, if we don't buy sweets for the children and for us, because on a passage, especially during the night, it is a real treat to, you know, okay, no, I'm gonna pop caramel or, you know, a lolly or something like that around 12 o'clock, and I'm going to get another piece of chocolate at 2 o'clock if I manage to stay awake and keep the watch. So you want to have a good variety of sweets on board just to treat yourself, especially through the night. I don't know, probably we should brush our teeth three times through the night with so much sweets, so many sweets. But anyway, that's the reason that I said, you know, we need to buy more sweets. And yesterday, myself and Claudia, we went for a stroll, you know, for a little walk through town. And beautiful, beautiful town again. Santa Cruz is such a charming place. I'll come to this in a second. And we find ourselves in front of another supermarket. I mean, we knew about it, but we kind of know, we unconsciously navigated towards the supermarket. And 1 hour later, we walk out of the supermarket with another 5 shopping bags of stuff, mostly sweets, like a full bag of sweets. I think, you know, a few kilograms of sweets, jellies and lollies and all of that. And then we bought some cheese and you know, stuff that we can keep in the fridge, and some produce. And we came to the boat and we managed to put that away, and still not in anybody's way. It's still put in the lockers and wherever. So what I'm trying to say is, like, there is always room for more. There is always room for more. Don't believe that, you know, your lockers are full, you have no more room for more food or anything like that. There is always room. I mean, if we put our mind to it, we can still put maybe 5 crates of stuff on the boat. Okay, we won't be able to walk around in the cabin anymore. We'll have to keep the crates on the floor. But right now, everything is stored away. I believe we have storage for about food stored for about maybe 3 or 4 months. We just need to buy fresh vegetables and meat, cheese, eggs, stuff like that. But whatever is long term, we are pretty well stocked. Now, poor Quo Vadis is lying low in the water, and we have a lot of weight on the bow, mostly because the sail locker is at the bow. So we have the anchor chain, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sails in the sail locker, yeah, plus fenders, plus some other stuff. So the bow of the boat, it's really heavy, a lot of stuff that it's stored here. And I want to keep the sails in the front sail locker, because this is where I need them. You know, I just open the locker and get the sails out and use them. There will be no good reason to keep the sails in other part of the boat, because they're heavy, and in a real life situation, when the boat is moving, it will be very difficult to move a sail back from the back of the boat on the bow. At least this is my belief at the moment. I might change my opinions later. So, and then don't forget, despite our sailboat being only a 38 feet boat, it takes 700 liters of water. I don't know how much gallons is that, but if 1 gallon is 4.5 liters, you're talking about 150 gallons of water, okay? And 300 liters of diesel, which is like 70 gallons of diesel, you know, approximate. I didn't do this calculation from liters to gallons, but just for now, for the people who listen from the States and are using that measurement. So for a boat that small, there is a lot of water and there is a lot of diesel. So we are about 2 or 3 inches above the waterline. Like, you know, the boat is sitting low, but the bow, it's kind of dipping down a little bit more than the stern of the boat. Nothing dangerous, nothing to worry about, but it's a little bit ridiculous, to tell you the truth. And that's from all the stuff that we have stored on board. So our plan is, because we still have a lot of stuff, like old equipment, too many clothes and other stuff that I have the ambition of trying to get rid of, you know, like whenever I have an opportunity, I want to just, you know, give it away, sell it at secondhand prices, whatever it takes, just to make this boat a little bit lighter, you know? I mean, we'll be crossing the Atlantic in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, let's say. You don't want to carry too much weight. I mean, you want to carry what you actually need. So that's something. Now, coming back to Santa Cruz, La Palma, in La Palma, the city itself. Yesterday when we were going, you know, walking through town, myself and Claudia, it stopped raining, so we had to, you know, stop and sit on a bench in a little archway in front of the church, in the main church in Santa Cruz. And it was absolutely lovely, you know. You sit down, there is nothing to, you know, because of the rain, you're not going to move away. You have 10, 15 minutes to look around and actually look around. And you look at the church, the nice steps that go up to the church. You look at the buildings around you. You really observe the architecture. And it's such a peaceful place. It's such a peaceful place. You can't believe, you know. There are many beautiful places in this world, I'm absolutely sure. We loved Tenerife, and tomorrow I'll have to make a choice where to move and live the rest of my life without any restrictions, I will probably choose the island of Tenerife, city Santa Cruz. But now, seeing Santa Cruz in La Palma, I know it's a bit confusing, to Santa Cruz in the same archipelago, it's so peaceful, it's just so nice. Nobody's stressed. I went for a haircut, okay? On my birthday, on the 25th, yeah? And the barber, no, actually, at least up till now, I walk into a barber shop. If there is a customer in the chair, I sit down and wait my turn. And as soon as the barber finishes with that customer, it's my turn or whatever. No, the man had a booking list. Like in a, you'll have in a hairdresser for ladies, you know? So she said, no, I'm busy. Look, okay, I have 2 slots left for today. You know, pick your slot. I picked the 6:40 slot. And that was it, you know? When I came at 6:40, he was just about finishing with the previous customer. I sat down, he gave me the haircut. I spoke to him, a man who lived in this island his whole life. The barbershop is just one chair, himself, that's his job, that's his business. No other people employed. Very neat, very clean. A very interesting design, a mix between white and blue in his barbershop. The man was very calm. He has 2 daughters, late 20s, a grandchild of 11 months. His daughter are living on the island as well after they finished their studies in Tenerife. So, I don't know, I just got a sense of calmness, very pleasant. Like, even if you see the shops, you wonder, you know, how do they survive? Because the shops are almost empty all the time when you look around, but they're still there. And apparently, they don't need a lot of trade. They just do enough trade to keep them going, you know? They're not so much profit-driven, let me put it that way, okay? So the people seem to be, you know, if I can make a living, can live a pleasant life, that's fine. I don't need to become rich, as long as my life is pleasant and you know, stress-free. That seems to be their attitude. Okay. So this is for now. The sun is not up yet. The sky is brighter again. The clouds tend to gather above the other islands, like the island of Tenerife and the island of La Gomera. So probably I'll continue this recording later today. I'll share my how I feel and what I see, and I'll try to publish pretty soon. There is a lot of background noise because I'm recording at the bow of the boat, so you have the waves, and there is a little bit of wind, but if that wind hits the microphone of my phone, I'm pretty sure the sound is going to drive you nuts. I apologize for that, but As promised earlier, no editing, raw recording. This is an audio journal, it's not a radio program. Talk to you later, guys. Now it's 12 o'clock, same day, 27th, 12 o'clock midday. We've been motoring for 6 hours since we left the port. Already a few things happened this morning. And I think the way of recording the audio journals through the day as the events happen, it's going to be a better way. So I put the phone down at around, I think, just before 8 o'clock or something like that. And then the sunrise started to happen. And myself and Claudia grab our phones and the camera and were taking pictures of the clouds. Beautiful, like really a thick layer of clouds under the horizon. And the sun coming up from behind the clouds, giving beautiful shape. The sky was blue above us because there was no clouds above us. So the sea blue, sky blue, clouds at the horizon, kind of bluish clouds as well, gray bluish, with a orange outline. It was something that you can't even dream. You know, you can't even dream it up. It's better than something that you can dream. And during all this beautiful sunrise, I went below and I got the gimbal. So we can put the phone in the gimbal. And I took David's phone, iPhone. I put it in the gimbal. So you get a beautiful steady shot despite the boat rolling left and right. With the gimbal, you get a beautiful straight line on the horizon. So we managed to get absolutely amazing footage and photos of that happening. And after that, I passed the gimbal to Claudia and said, okay, if you want to grab more shots, go ahead. And I grabbed my my camera and I start filming some details of the boat and, you know, stuff that should help us make a beautiful video. And I was at the back of the boat, the back rail of the boat, where it's below the solar panels, filming and all of that. And Claudia was 2 meters in front of me on the side of the cockpit with the gimbal and the camera, you know, lining outside of the boat, trying to get, you know, nice waves in the sea and all of this calm sea, almost no waves, just a little swell. And I just hear, oops, David's phone in the water. And I look beside me and I can see David's phone falling into the water and sliding towards the bottom of the sea. His iPhone 8, you're talking about €750, was just sinking slowly into the sea. And I was at the back of the boat with my expensive camera around my neck. I didn't even have time to react. If I wouldn't have had my expensive camera around the head, probably I would have jumped into the water in a last attempt to grab the phone before it goes too deep into the sea. But there was no way because I had the camera around my neck. We are under engine, okay? No sailing, so it wouldn't have been such a big problem if I was to jump in the sea. I wasn't wearing a life vest. So there you go. David's iPhone and the beautiful footage that we captured with the gimbal. It's resting at the bottom of the sea, like 500 or 700 meters outside of La Palma. So that's it. Claudia started crying. She lost her nerve. She was really disappointed with her. I tried to take the blame. I can't explain how the phone came out of the gimbal because it's supposed to stay in the gimbal. But it did happen, and that's that. You have to accept what life gives you and move on. And that's what I told Claudia, just that's it. We'll move on. And then when David came on deck later, around 9 o'clock, we had all the speech prepared and said, David, we have a good news and a bad news. The good news, you're going to get a new iPhone. And he was, whoa, why? And because we lost your iPhone over the side, it's in the sea. And the face on him, I almost started crying and he was very angry. But in the end, he understood, okay, I'm going to get a new iPhone. Like, we don't have the money for a new iPhone. Let me put it that way. A new iPhone, it's the budget for 2 weeks of sailing. So we are in trouble because we are overspending already. So our budget is getting smaller and smaller. We're going to run out of money before we finish the journey, the voyage. But I'll worry about that next year when we'll be at the end of our bank account will be in red. But before that, we'll just keep going and we'll try to make the best of what it's available. So that was the iPhone story. That's it. What can I say? And then after that, after we kind of we got our nerves back and accepted the new reality, I dropped a fishing line into the water with a lure to try to catch a fish, because until now we didn't catch a fish at all. And, you know, I looked, half an hour nothing, 1 hour nothing. By this time everybody was back on deck, everybody was awake, we had our breakfast. And I went below to, I don't know, do something, download the pictures from the camera, I believe. When I hear, that, come up, fish. And I come up and we got a fish on the line. It was, I don't know how we trail the line, okay? So it's not a fishing rod, it's just you trail a line from a spool with a lure at the end. And we pulled out on deck, and as I was pulling the fish to the boat, I asked Dora to go below and bring me a knife, the filleting knife, so I can kill the fish quickly. This is the very first fish we ever caught. I brought the fish up on deck. It was a yellowfin tuna, kind of a kilo and a half, I'd say. And when Dora saw me with the knife in my hand, ready to kill the fish, she instantly went hysteric. She starts screaming to stop, to leave the fish, to put the fish back in the water. And this kind of behavior. Right now she's shouting to David. Probably David is annoying her with some way. If you hear, David, stop. That's her. That's the way she tried to stop people from doing stuff. Anyway, she went hysteric. She ran below. She went into the front cabin. She locked herself in there. I killed the fish. I filleted it. I cleaned the deck. It was sad. Seriously, when you go into the market and you buy your fish, and when it's on ice, it's dead, and you go home and cook it and eat it, you don't feel any remorse. The same with the chicken, the same with the burgers and whatever. But when you pick the fish alive from the sea, you see it moving, and it's not a small fish, you know. It was like 60, 70 centimeters from, you know, 50 centimeters, let's say, you know, 60 centimeters from head to tail. And you push the knife through behind the head of the fish to try to kill it as quick as possible. It's not a nice feeling, but that's why I put the lure in the sea, to get a fish. I got a fish. I need to follow on with my actions, with my decisions. There is no... That's it. So I killed the fish. I filleted it. We cooked it straight away. Dora refused to touch it. It was nice. It was delicious. It was the freshest fish we ever ate. Tuna is a little bit dry, but still, it was a lovely fish. And that was it. Dora decided to have some cheese and tomato. She said that she's vegetarian from now on. She's never going to eat any kind of meat anymore. We'll see how long this will last. And now I'm trying to get them to do a bit of studying. And probably this is why we hear them a little bit kind of shouting or screaming in the background. Because they, when you try to get the children to start studying, there's something happens to make them unhappy. There's something delaying them starting to study. Anyway, It's just past 12 o'clock. We are 6 hours away from El Hierro. Hopefully no more big adventures, just nice and clean crossing. We hope for a bit of wind. We are supposed to have about 7 or 8 knots of wind later today, maybe 10. That should allow us to put the sail up and turn off the engine and move ahead under sail. But as right now, we are motoring, unfortunately. Talk to you later. Okay, now it's Sunday the 28th. It's just past 10 o'clock in the morning. We arrived in El Hierro last night around 6 o'clock as previously planned. And the first impression is of a very, very quiet place, really quiet. The valley where the marina is, marina or the port of La Estaca, it's extremely quiet. And the valley accentuates this quietness, because if you speak loud, your echo can be heard around the valley. If people are talking and they are, let's say, a few hundred meters away from you, the valley can, you know, send the sound waves to you in, you know, and it makes for a very intimate, quiet place. We rented a car. I got the keys only 10 minutes ago, and we are planning to explore the island for the next 3 days. And I'll make a new recording number 27, with our experience on the island of El Hierro. I just wanted to say that we arrived here safely last night. No more adventures. We are the only boat in the marina with, you know, people on board. There are another few boats here, but there are no people. You know, they just moored here, and I don't know where the owners of the boats are. There was a boat, an English boat here last night. They helped us tie the lines to the dock, and half an hour after we arrived, they left for Cape Verde. So at the moment, we are the only people, cruisers, in the port. It's a very small port. You know, maybe you can fit, you know, 12, 20 boats in here, on the, you know, where you expect to have the yachts. There are, you know, a good number of smaller local boats, fishing boats, and there is a good number of empty pontoons. But by any standards, it's a very small and cozy place. Just walking around the port last night and the ferry terminal, it felt surreal. It's just a different experience. It's quiet, peaceful. Nobody seems to be in a hurry. Everybody is minding their own little business. You see small local fisherman boats going out and in to the harbor, but nothing seems to be, you know, nobody seems to be in a hurry. Everybody's kind of taking it easy. It's a different vibe to the place, and I expect to find this vibe all around the island. My children, actually, they have hate the place because it's so quiet. They are used to, more people to be able to go, interact, talk. And in a way, it feels a little bit slightly depressing, you know. Last night, we had a dinner and a glass of wine, and we watched a movie on the boat. But you felt a little bit out of place after, you know, 3 months of being in busy marinas, and even Santa Cruz, La Palma, the marina in La Palma, which is a small marina, felt way busier than this place. So that's for now. We'll continue with recording number 27 in a couple of days. Bye.